discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
For all his far-reaching fame, Dr. Saul Harkins, the world's most famous atheist, is a lonely soul and a lousy part-time dad. After a near-death experience challenges his simplest assumptions about this world, Saul finds his purpose and reimagines his life. It's the compelling setup to what's been called the most anticipated faith-based film of the year, Let There Be Light. And today, we get a sneak peek inside this remarkable project in a conversation with its husband and wife director, co-writer, producer, and starring duo, Kevin and Sam Sorbo. Kevin is a celebrated film and TV actor from movies like God's Not Dead and Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. He's also an author and an advocate for mentoring through A World Fit for Kids. And Sam is an award-winning actress, a national radio staple, and a homeschool advocate. Welcome to you both. It's a real pleasure to have you here today.
What a lovely introduction. Thank you for having us.
We're going to take you everywhere from now on.
Just have you announce us wherever we go.
I have a feeling I would feel very safe with you guys. That sounds great to me. Before we get into the storyline a little bit, both of you have talked a great deal about Hollywood's attitude toward faith and have been very upfront with that. And just to start with you, Kevin, does that, to put it kindly, lack of enthusiasm on the part of many in Hollywood toward faith play a role in wanting to make a movie like this in the first place?
I don't look at it as like I want to get back into Hollywood, but I think what Sam and I both look for are movies that are more character-driven, more uplifting, more messages of redemption and hope and faith and love, and that's certainly what Let There Be Light has in it. Because there's just not enough of those movies out there. I mean, everything's about visual effects and buildings getting toppled over, which is fine. But you walk out of those movies sort of empty in terms of what you're going to talk about in terms of the people, the characters in those movies. And I've been very blessed to do a number of movies that people really love, like God's Not Dead and What If and Abel's Field and Soul Surfer. And this is a movie right along that genre. And, people keep telling me to make more of these, and here we are. We just got one coming out now, and now we need people to support it by showing up at the movie theaters over the weekend.
Well, Sam, you have described the way that the film came about as a miraculous genesis. Can you give us a window into that story?
Sure. I had become sort of disgruntled with what Hollywood was producing, and I stopped watching television for the most part, and I typically don't even go to theaters. I was like, I want to see movies that I want to see. What happened to the old Hollywood classics? And I came up with this idea of the world's greatest atheist having a crisis of faith. And I thought, now that's a movie that I'd like to see. So I worked on the idea a little bit. And then I called Dan Gordon, who is an acquaintance of mine. And he's a very well-known screenwriter. He wrote The Hurricane with Denzel Washington. And
he wrote Wide Earp with Kevin Costner.
Right,
he's a great writer.
So I called him and I said, I've got this idea for a screenplay. Would you consider writing it with me? And of course, at first he said no, but when I told him the idea, he found it irresistible. It's a real human drama. And this is what real writers really want to write. They want to write the great dialogue and the great scenes, dramatic scenes. And then within 2 weeks of that, Sean Hannity, out of the blue, calls Kevin and says, hey, I want to fund a faith-based movie project, and I want to work with you if you have anything. And that's how we got our funding. And, I got to tell you, we've been in Hollywood long enough. The money never chases the project. The movie always chases the money. And typically, the movie runs out of breath before the money does. Getting a project funded in Hollywood, it's just unbelievable. So this film got funded outside of Hollywood. This film took place outside of Hollywood. It's really an externally produced movie, external to Hollywood. And frankly, with all the smut and the swarm that's coming out of Hollywood, we're seeing the indecent underbelly of that industry right now on full view. I'm glad to say that this movie is not a Hollywood movie, but it is a Hollywood caliber movie. It's a movie that'll make you want to laugh and cry and stand up and cheer.
That's great. I love that description, and I want to ask you more about it in just a few moments. But Kevin, you know, after seeing God's Not Dead and getting to know your character in that movie as well, I couldn't help but see a little bit of a similarity to where we meet your character in Let There Be Light. Can you introduce us to Dr. Sol Harkins?
Well, you know, there's more than two atheists in the world, just so we get that straight. So, yes, I played an atheist in God's Not Dead, but that was just your typical college professor in America today, unfortunately. My character in this one is like a Hitchens or a Dawkins. He is world known. I mean, everybody knows who this guy is. He is the rock star of the anti-God crowd, and he relishes getting out there and debating any Christian and making fools of them as best he can, and he does a very good job of it. And he's a celebrated author as well. So out of the limelight, though, the man's a pretty he's a pretty messed up guy. You know, he had a son that passed away when the son was only 8 years old when he died, and he was the oldest of the three boys that he had with his wife. His wife was always a Christian. He was a man of little faith or no faith, but the death of that son, 8-year-old boy, pretty much put him over the edge and tore the marriage apart, and he goes on his own little rampage of hate and anger and a lot of stuff we're seeing in our country and the world right now. And he really has a journey he needs to go on, and what happens, he has a life-changing event that he can't quite put a finger on and doesn't quite understand. And the only person that really knows him well enough to help him with this is his ex-wife, and he crawls over to her and with open arms and say, please help me. I'm beyond a broken man, and I need help. And that's kind of where the story takes off from there.
You're hearing the voices of Kevin and Sam Sorbo today on the road with the new movie Let There Be Light, just out in theaters this weekend, as you hear these words. And you you had the great line, there's more than two atheists in the world. But I think when it comes to people who are looking at an actor's portrayal, I mean, we do kind of wonder, is it tough at all to inhabit a character who is hostile to what your real life beliefs are? I mean, how do you sort of draw into that reality for a performance?
Well, it really comes from people I see on TV, on Fox and CNN, and these guys. I mean, I have atheist friends we discuss. I have agnostic friends we discuss. We're still friends. I'm not angry at them for what their non-belief or whatever. You know, atheism is a religion itself. They believe in nothing, you know. So as for me, I looked at these guys on TV that form clubs and spend, you know, millions of dollars to fight back about, oh, that cross, you know, it take it down, that nativity scene offends me. And I one hand, I should feel sorry for them and pray for them. On the other hand, I find it so comical that people get so angry about something they don't believe in. I don't believe in broccoli, okay? So knock yourself out. Have all the broccoli you want, okay? I don't get it. And but here's where we are, and I think you look at it. The movie also has another message in there dealing with fathers and the fatherless issue we have in America today. In our inner cities, it used to be 20% of kids were raised without a dad. It's 80% today. And I've always said to people, I go, look at the murder rate in Chicago. Look at the riots going on and going on in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where I grew up, in Ferguson and Baltimore, all these places. And those mostly 30 and younger men, do you think if they had biblical principles in their lives, do you think if they have godly values in their lives, would they be out there destroying public and private property and attacking people and burning up police cars? Now, I honestly don't think so. Mm-hmm. You need to show me a tape of Christians out there doing this kind of thing, because you can't find it.
Sam, turning to your character for just a moment, in addition to all the writing and producing that you've done with this project, you also play Katie Harkins in the movie. How does her character shape the story?
She's the long-suffering, estranged wife of this man who has devoted his life more recently to destroying everything that she believes in. And the only reason that she hangs on is for the sake of her two children with him. And so I think that much is pretty clear in the movie. She just wants what's best for the kids, and she still wants what's best for their dad, just by himself as well. But, you know, it wasn't a difficult character to play in any case, because as an actor, you're calling on different facets of yourself, and that's all you do. And you know, hopefully the performance affects people the way that it's supposed to. It seems to. people really love the movie. If you go to lettherebelightmovie.com, you'll see testimonial videos of people who have just come out of the theater, and they are deeply and profoundly moved. And that's the kind of experience that I want in the cinema. I want to go and be moved, and for that I'll pay money. You know what I mean? But to go and see things get blown up and shot up and torn up and, you know, it doesn't interest me anymore. It's not that those aren't my values. I don't need to see destruction and negativity. I want to see positivity, uplifting, hopeful storytelling.
You know, beyond even the sort of the groundbreaking nature of the content itself, this is really a fun and groundbreaking scenario, because not only is Let There Be Light written, directed, and produced by your husband-wife team, but I understand that your two sons are also in the cast, right?
Yep. We did, you know, we kind of broke all the rules and actually put family members in our
project. That's never happened never before.
You know what? My co-writer insisted that the boys play the part, and I said to him that I would consider it, but I wanted to make sure they could do it. So they auditioned for Kevin, and he was kind of blown away with their performances. And I got to tell you, they show up in the movie. They do a great job. They offer a lot of comic relief in the movie. And they helped they're well sussed out characters, and they stepped up to the plate. They did a really good job. Very proud of them.
Just from a personal perspective, I mean, how much fun and how rewarding is it to share an experience like this as a family?
Yeah, I mean, that sort of goes without saying. It was an incredible thing, and I'm just hoping that the film can reach everyone. I really want a lot of people to see this movie, because I think it offers hope, and I think it will help people. And I know it will. I had a woman say after a screening, she waited and waited, because people leave the screening very euphoric, and they tend to stand around and chat with other people. And this woman stood off to the side and waited for a while, and then after it sort of died down, she came over and said, "I just want to tell you that I just lived through what that movie depicts." And it really moved me, and it helped me, and I want to thank you. And I was just I'm so moved by that. This movie can help people, and that's really what I want it to do. So go to lettherebelightmovie.com and see where it's playing at a theater near you. And if it's not, call your local theater and ask them why they haven't brought it to the theater yet. And call the church, call your church, call your group, whatever group you're in, and organize group ticket sales. You can get tickets at a discount and bring the movie to a theater near you. So you can do that too. Just go to the website and all the information is there.
Awesome. Love it. Now, you both come to telling this story from a place of personal faith in Jesus yourselves. And just to sketch that out with both of you briefly, Sam, was faith always a part of your life or something that you found along the way?
No, it's something that I came to later in life. I was in my 20s, and I was well established in my career. I was making a lot of money, and I was, very sort of fulfilled in all of those aspects. And I started to question sort of what life is about. And I went on a search, and I discovered God. I discovered that God exists and that life has purpose. And then shortly after that, I ended up at a church, and that's where I say Jesus found me. But that's how my relationship came about. And, I would wish that for other people. I think we have a lot of lost people. Yeah. And there is a darkness that is pervasive. And there is one antidote to the darkness, and that is the light. So that's what we're trying to share with this movie.
And Kevin, you've talked about accepting Jesus as a Minnesota teenager at a Billy Graham crusade, but following your story, I mean, is it fair to say that your relationship with Jesus really intensified as you dealt with a pretty shocking health challenge at the height of your Hercules fame?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I suffered three strokes at the end of season 5 on Hercules. I wrote a book, it's called True Strength, that's out there right now. I do a lot of speaking events because of it. You know, it's interesting, you know, you end up in these so-called faith-based movies, and then get out a book called True Strength, Dealing with Faith. And all of a sudden, these doors open up to me that I never thought would open up to me. I do a lot of speaking events for pro-life. I do speaking events for Youth for Christ, motivational speaking. I speak at doctors, in medical places. I mean, it's weird in one way, because it's not sort of, if you told me, you know, 10 years ago, that's what I'd be doing, I would have said, what are you talking about? But it's amazing the doors that do get opened up. And, you know, I never needed faith, even though I had faith, but I didn't need it until I really needed it when I had my stroke. Because, you know, when we hit that roadblocks in life, what do people do? They blame God, they blame family, they blame friends, they blame all kinds of things. The reality is you got to look in that mirror and say, okay, this happened. What am I going to do now? You know, am I going to sit and feel sorry for myself the rest of my life or not? So I, coupled with the strength of my faith with God and my wrestling with him and the prayers and struggling with my wife, who wouldn't let me feel sorry for myself. And I'm a very strong-willed person on top of it. I just really pushed much harder than any of the neurologists said I would get through. And I proved all the doctors wrong, even though ultimately they did save my life from the initial, the aneurysm and everything else I had in my body. But they didn't give me the chance to get to back where I am when the strokes happened. Well, most people wouldn't be able to tell a difference on me. I know the difference in me, but most people wouldn't be able to tell. So it's been interesting. It's been interesting to dive into this world doing movies that bring a positive message, because, as Sam said, there's so much negativity. There's so much glorification of bad behavior, and movies that want to put a you know, a halo around the bad people out there, the anti-hero. And it gets to the point that this is ridiculous, and people are fed up with that. People want something that has a positive message, and it's starting to show in the number of movies coming out, like Let There Be Light.
Well, there is some irony there. As we talk with Kevin and Sam Sorbo, the new movie Let There Be Light, just out in theaters this weekend, as you hear us chatting here with Kevin and Sam, and it's fascinating. I mean, there's some irony there, because you've been very upfront with the attitude that many of your colleagues have towards faith. And yet, you continue to see that these faith-based pictures, these stories well told that are redemptive, as you said, Kevin, they continue to succeed more and more. I mean, what do we do with that seeming irony?
Well, I think that, look, people have to realize that we have a clash of worldviews in the United States right now. And there are two prevailing worldviews. One is Judeo-Christianity, which values life and says that life has meaning and purpose. And the other is secular humanism, which says that life has no value because life is an accident, and Darwinism and evolution and survival of the fittest. And the problem is now we're faced with the results of survival of the fittest. We're facing the results of that mindset, particularly in the form of, say, Harvey Weinstein. So he, survival of the fittest, he did what he wanted, he got what he wanted, and sometimes they made him pay for it. But if you believe in survival of the fittest, then you really shouldn't have any problem with the way that he treated women. But if you believe that women should be treated equally and with respect, then you might want to look at Judeo-Christian values and worldview. And so, you know, this is a worldview that I support. I understand that it's under attack because it's the antithesis of life having no value and the other worldview. And I would love for people to consider that. And what's happening is people are. And so when you see football players take a knee for the national anthem and the outrage that spread across this country because of that, and then the NFL bowing down in acquiescence to the demands of paying public, the paying public is understanding that their values and their needs, their desires, are going to win if they only get, you know, stand up and say they want to be counted. And for instance, this movie is another way for them to be counted. If they want to make a statement and send a message to Hollywood about the kind of entertainment that they want, this is the movie to do it with, because this is the movie that was produced outside of Hollywood and has those values and reflects that uplifting sentiment that we want in our entertainment. This is the kind of movie that families can go to. And by the way, it tests better for men than it does even for women, and women love it. So I would say that, ladies out there, if there's a guy in your life, your husband, your brother, your son, who you want to take to the movies and have them thank you for it afterwards, this is that film.
You did indicate at the open of the conversation, Sam, that that there is laughter, there's the potential for crying, and a lot of potential for cheering for the gospel as well. Is it fair to say this is an emotional roller coaster that you're going to face in your theater seat?
Yeah, and I'm not the only one that said it. I think Franklin Graham said it, and he loved the movie. And, you know, he doesn't endorse things. So I just feel so blessed because people really love this movie. But in order for this kind of cinema to be successful, we need people to show up at the theaters. And so go to LetThereBeLightMovie.com. You can check out the trailer. You can see the testimonial video. See how this movie is affecting people and lifting people and bringing hope. And also check out where it's showing near you. And if it's not showing near you, then call the theater and see if you can get them to bring it in, please.
I can't resist asking you guys about this one, too, because in reading up on you, I mean, there's all of the busyness that we've described throughout this whole conversation of, you know, the production of this film that you're so deeply involved in. And yet, at the same time, you guys homeschool your kids. First of all, how do you find the time to do that? And why is it so important to you that you invest that time?
Well, she's got to answer this one because she wrote a book on it as well.
So my book is called They're Your Kids, and it's an inspirational journey from self-doubter to homeschool advocate. I believe very strongly in home education for a number of reasons that I go into in the book. And you can go to samsorbo.com for more information on that. I think that people think that it's more work than it really is to home educate, and people think that it's less work than it really is to send your child into a public institution for their education, which they're not really getting. Let's face it, we've had 9 overhauls of our education system in the past 27 years. That's one every 3 years, and they still haven't fixed it. And the last one that they put through was Common Core, and they never tested it before they put it through. So somebody's making a lot of money and education isn't getting better. It's getting worse. So I don't see it as a choice, really. I mean, I'm grateful that I had the choice to homeschool, but for me, it was a done deal when I realized the value of home education. How do I get it all done? You know, I work hard. I'm very focused and I plow through and I get stuff done. So there are lots of different ways to get it done, and you can get my book if you want more information.
Awesome. Love it. I think people can tell that about you, too, just listening to the conversation, that you both are the type of people who just get stuff done. So it's great to have this conversation with you. I wonder, as somebody enters the theater, and by the time they finish watching the film, as those who have worked so hard to make this film happen, what is your real hope and your real goal that they leave that theater with?
Hope.
You just said the word.
So that's all we're trying to do, is spread some hope.
You just said the word.
We want to shine light into the darkness, speak love into hatred, and just give people hope.
Awesome.
Hope into despair.
I love it. Well, what a treat to talk with Kevin and Sam Sorbo. The movie, once again, called Let There Be Light, just out in theaters this weekend. And guys, just one more time, all of the web information for where they can go and what to do to find a theater in their area.
That's easy. It's LetThereBeLightMovie.com. LetThereBeLightMovie.com. And just poke around the website. You'll find all the information you need. And I want to thank you, Ryan, for having us on. This has been a real pleasure to speak with you.
Absolutely. Thanks to both of you as well. What a joy to discover more about the film and more about you as people as well.
You know, one more thing on that site. They can find all kinds of information where theaters are close to them. I just want to reiterate again, we're an independent movie. Independent movies don't have a $100 million budget like Pirates of the Caribbean does to promote it. We need people to fill these theaters up. They need to show up. People always say, make more movies like this. We're big supporters. Well, then support these movies. These movies will die. Hollywood will win its agenda, and we'll disappear. And we don't want that to happen. We want to bring the culture back to where it should be.
And text all your friends, Let There Be Light.
Awesome. Thanks so much to both of you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
where we go. Music for the people to illuminate the show. Light shine bright everywhere we go. Music for the people, making music for the people. Light shine bright.